There it goes. Frank Sinatra. Whew, I love that song. I was just telling Mike Dutcher here. Our number here is 508-222-1320. There are a lot of fabulous stories about Frank Sinatra, that's for sure. And I'm sure that you, being a student of Frank Sinatra, can you tell us some other interesting facts that we might not know?
Well, let's see. Here's an interesting fact. Around the late 1940s, the State of Israel was being formed, and they were trying to get money for arms over to Palestine. And Sinatra was performing right near the waterfront in a club, and someone had come out, a Jewish man had come out, and he said, "Frank, we're trying to get money over there on the ship, and, you know, just cash." Frank reportedly carried $1 million in cash onto the ship to bring the to fund the arms to Israel was becoming a state, and it's in the historical books in Israel, and that helped them to fight to become a nation.
Wow!
And they have one of the universities, they have the Frank Sinatra Room over there in Israel, and that's, you know, so the point I'm making is Sinatra helped a lot of people of all different colors and creeds, and you know, he broke a lot of barriers, you know, great. He contributed a lot to the United States, to the world, and people who know Sinatra know that. So there's a story for you.
Wow, that is a great story. Yeah. So when you go out to a gig, your demographics in the audience, does it vary from young to old, or is it mostly middle-aged to older, because they want to relive that era?
Naturally, we have an older generation that comes to see us. I'm not going to, you know, lie. We have, you know, a generation from my age group, right into the, you know, I have people in the 90s that come to see the show. But here's the good news. See, the Boston College of Boston University has a fraternity that's partially dedicated to Sinatra.
Really?
and they come down, and you know, we get these guys come down and say, "Oh no, we're Sinatra files," as they call them. They wear the fedoras and they come see the show. That a lot of parents bring in their kids to hear Sinatra. So, you know, as I said, when something is good, young people, everyone finds out eventually. And I think Sinatra will be here for another 300 years. I do.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, it's good music, it's quality, and quality always seems to rise to the top. So I think that's just my humble opinion, but I think it's going to be around for a long, long time, way after I'm gone.
Well, I was going to say that you bring up a good point, because it was a special time in history, music history, that you're actually propelling that into another generation and another generation and another generation. So music lives on forever, as they say.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's correct. As I said, a lot of shows, I'm seeing a lot of young people come in, and you know, a lot of them will say, "Well, my grandparents, when I would visit them, they'd play this music, and I fall in love with it." And I'm talking about, you know, 18, 19 to 20s and early 30s. So it's great to hear. It's great to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, that means I can stay employed and I can still pay my mortgage.
Okay. So you have, let's go back. You have many different entities in your company. You have Strictly Sinatra presenting the Rat Pack. So one, I know, like when I had seen you, you didn't have the live band, but tonight you're going to have the live band,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, that's correct, right. Nine pieces behind
us. Wow.
Yeah, so, and they're terrific. The guys are fabulous, and they're with me. Most of these guys have been with me a long time. Joe Boulay is my musical director. I've got Chris Pratt as the conductor. And these guys are veteran musicians. Most of them, not all of them, are Berklee graduates. And they know a lot more about music than I do.
Wow.
Thank God. They guide me. But we've been together a while. A lot of great stories, a lot of great memories, and a very loyal and honorable group of guys.
Yes.
And if you can say that about musicians. Any musicians out there, you know what I'm talking about. But they're terrific. And so they'll be with us tonight, and the Rat Pack, and a couple of guests. And God willing, it's going to be a great show.
Oh, my God. I'm sure it's going to be just fantastic. And so do you have any CDs, or are you going to be making new CDs?
Working on a CD, but I want to do all romantic songs and ballads, and that we're going to do that in 2018. I know Stephen is going to have his CD available. He's the Dean Martin singer, among other things. He'll be there. I believe tonight his CD will be available for sale after the show. So, you know, look for that. I think that they're going to be marketing it, advertising it on one of the screens in the lobby. So his CD will be available. I don't have any CDs that I'm going to be marketing tonight. But I will, you know, within the next 6 months, something will be coming about.
I was just going to say, or recording the show, DVD or something like that, do you
well,
think?
The last one I did, I recorded it, you know, we did record the whole show live, and we have a video of it. But I do have my CD available that I do make available from time to time, live at B.B. King's in New York City, which will be there, oddly enough, will be there Sunday night. Once again, we've been
You're all going there?
Yeah, we're all going there. So we'll get done and home and rest and then off to New York City. So we'll be there Sunday night, West 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And this is our fourth year there. We've been there about 4 to 6 times a year. So, and it's a great time. There's nothing like New York City.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. We're looking forward to that gig, too.
That's for sure. Oh, my God, that is for sure. That's exciting, you know? Yeah. I mean, what is one of the favorite songs or one or two favorite songs you like to sing?
I love ballads, and you know the big band stuff naturally. You know, one of my favorite love tunes is "Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered,"
which is
Rodgers and Hart.
Right.
But I also love "Luck Be a Lady" from Frank Lesser Guys in Dallas. That's a big tune, "Luck Be a Lady."
Wow.
So, but I love them all. There's just so many great tunes. Frank covered nearly 2,500 tunes in his lifetime.
I was just
he did, and he covered he covered tunes by Stevie Wonder. You know, he was, you know, later on in years, he covered a lot of, then current pop singers, and then he put his own switch to it, and did a lot of great stuff. And, last night, I did a wedding last night, and I sang for once in my life, and you are the sunshine of my life, which Stevie Wonder covered.
That's great. Okay, I guess we have some calls, and that's great. Good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Hello? Okay, I guess we have a drop call. And like I always say, when it's live radio, anything can happen. And it generally does happen to my show. Microphones fall, and different things like that. Do we got them now? Got them back. Okay, great. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask Mike Dutra a question. Mike, you're phenomenal. I saw you many years ago when you regularly performed at the Colonel Blackington Inn. You probably remember being there. You were there quite a few times back in the early 2000s. I just wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite song that you
performed?
Just
talking about that. Just talking.
Yeah.
I was just telling Elaine the my favorite ballad is my personal. I like "Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered" by Rodgers and Hart. And naturally, I love "New York, New York," but the one I lean mostly to is a casino song. Having sung in a lot of casinos, is "Luck Be a Lady" by Frank Lesser from Guys and Dolls. But
and
going
did you
back
ever
to
meet him,
I met Frank Jr. And I met Jr. and we talked, and I told him what I do, and he said, the look on his face was like, "How many guys do this stuff?" I said, I know. He was a complete gentleman and very kind, and he gave me his autograph and shook my hand. We talked for a few minutes, and that was really something. Unfortunately, we lost him some time ago also, Frank Jr. But getting back to the Colonel Blackington really quick, I've been there for 14 years. Every summer on Monday nights, I'm still there. God willing, I'll be there this coming summer on Monday night celebrating Sinatra. And
terrific.
It's 14 years now I've been there. That's
great.
Super
hey.
People.
Yeah, you're a great talent.
You're very kind.
I enjoyed the show today, and continued success, and I hope you have a great show tonight at Twin River.
Thank you so much, and happy holiday season to you.
You too, thank you.
All right, there goes Tom, our Tarman. I'm going to mention him in our closing in just another minute. I know our time is really going fast, and we have to wrap up shortly, and I'd like to thank Mike for coming on so early in the morning.
Thank you, dear.
And I'm really excited to go out to Twin River tonight to see him in the Rat Pack, and if you're fortunate enough to still get a ticket, please come on out and say hello, because it is going to be great. So again, I'd like to thank Mike Dutra for coming on, Jim Corbin, who always does our weather and does such a fantastic job, my producer Mike Catanzaro here, and you, our listeners. So Dominic, just as a reminder, Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, and Tom Rafferty will be on for Paul 9 to noon on Monday, filling in for Paul Healy. And Tom is going to have some actors on from the Attleboro Community Theater to talk about their upcoming play. My show Out and About with Elaine is on each and every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Yes, I know. But this is Elaine LaRochin from all of us here at WARA 1320. Thanks for listening. And I hope you meet me back here next Saturday to find out what's happening in our community. Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend. And take those kids out to the movies.
Duffy Pool Funeral Home is holding their annual Sock, Winter Hat, and Mitten Drive. The drive will run until December 15th. Donations of new socks, winter hats, and mittens can be dropped off 7 days a week at Duffy Pool Funeral Home's Winter Wear Bin, located at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. All donated items will be given out at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar in Attleboro.
For over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.org.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The following is an encore presentation of Out and About with Elaine. Please, no calls.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know.
Good morning, everyone. Our number here is 508-222-1320. This is Out and About with Elaine. Give us a call and talk to Mike Dutcher. We're waiting for Jim Corbin's fabulous forecast today. Sunny skies and 80 degrees. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's in Florida. That's not up here in New England. Oh, my God. When you can see your breath in the morning, it's like telling you that it's not summertime. That's for sure. So anyway, this has been crazy. I hope you had a very nice and exciting Thanksgiving with family and friends and Black Friday. I won't even go into that because I just think that it's a family weekend. You should just chill. Go online on Monday, Cyber Monday, instead of getting all those quote-unquote deals. And I have to say, I took my granddaughter to see Wonder, but unfortunately it was sold out. And if you do go to see that movie, just as a heads up, they'll actually give you the book and for free. So we ended up seeing Daddy's Home 2, which... My granddaughter is 9 years old, and a lot of the adult humor that was in it went right over her head, but it was a funny movie, and it was shot in and around Boston, and there's a scene actually about a Showcase Cinema. And after the movie was concluded, I asked one of the kids, I said, where was this shot? And they said, it's up in Concord or Revere. So I thought, that was really interesting. So if you get a chance to take your grandchildren or children or even spouse out to the movies. There's a ton of movies coming out. Wonder is the top one. Of course, I just said Daddy's Home 2. Last Flag Flying is really great. It has a lot of Oscar buzz, and it stars Steve Carell and Bryan Cranston and Lawrence Fishburne, and it's a really serious movie. But also, too, they have... Fernando the Bull, and also Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I mean, how many lasts can they be? I mean, didn't Darth Vader get killed off? Didn't all those stormtroopers die? Didn't everything? I mean, it's anything and everything about Star Wars, but The Last Jedi, so you have to see that. Not really. I'm not a Star Wars fan. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I just don't get into that sort of thing. I like more movies like The Last Flag Flying, something that's more interesting. Jim Corbin will be calling in shortly and giving us an update of the weather. I was just kidding about the 80-degree weather. I think most of you fell out of bed when I said that. But we are going to be getting some really warm weather. I was looking at the forecast today on a television station this morning, and we're going to be getting into a little bit more weather that's going to be more suitable. If you played the lottery, I want to wish you good luck, and I'll give you my email address later. Mass cash today is 126930. I want to give you the Rhode Island daily number is 0488. Mass daily is 0632. And if you're lucky enough to win, we got Jim Corbin. All right, great. We're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to the actual accurate report of Jim Corbin. Good morning, Jim. And how are you feeling?
Oh, a lot better, thanks.
Good.
Just about back, I'd say 98% back to normal.
Good.
Trying to catch up back on sleep after being 4 days of essentially awake with the hospital, people talking all the time and bells going off and everything else. But no, I'm essentially fine, so thank you. There's some good news, of course, today and, of course, tonight for anything going on, like tonight's going on. The weather is fine. Boy, I'll tell you, this is the time of year where we could have some of the worst weather. Now, not necessarily a lot of snow, but this is the cloudiest and windiest time of the year, typically. So we're in a good stage right now. Now, we do have, you observed seeing your breath this morning, also some scattered frost on some grassy surfaces, dirt surfaces. That is going to quickly melt within the next literally half hour, I think. And we have temperatures that are going from the low and mid-30s, to the mid-50s this afternoon. So we have a nice climb in temperature, a lot of sunshine, dry roadways this evening for activities going on, no issues with icy roads or anything like that, falling back to about 40. We'll start to get a little blustery late tonight, but well after midnight. And then tomorrow is the colder day of the weekend. While we hit about 56 this afternoon, I think we'll hit about 43 tomorrow with a mixture of clouds and sun. Now, there is a chance of maybe a flurry in the morning. Yeah, a flurry. That's it, though, as the colder air begins to move in. So we'll have some of those sort of dark bottom clouds for a time. And it will be turning gusty out of the northwest in the afternoon. If you know anyone perhaps heading to the Patriots game tomorrow, 1 o'clock at Gillette, about 43 degrees, gusty, mixture of sun and clouds. So not too tough to take. Back down to about 30 tomorrow night into Monday morning, Monday itself, a cool day, but still nothing too unusual for this time of the year, mid to upper 40s. And then, as you were just hinting at, Lane, a warm-up begins on Tuesday, upper 40s to near 50, and mid-50s returning. So Wednesday looks to be the warmest day of next week, probably at least 55, 57, 6, 57. So today and Wednesday are the two mild afternoons we'll have over the coming week. Then it turns a little cooler on Thursday. Notice I'm not talking about any rain or snow. Thursday, back into the mid to upper 40s. Friday looks dry as well. The next chance of any precipitation of any consequence now is starting to look like it might be either late next weekend or the following week. That is pretty darn good considering this time of year can be so nasty. In fact, one of the worst storms in history occurred on this date in 1950. Where the entire northeast United States was hammered by very high winds, rain, snow, power outages, things like that back in the 1950. It was called the Great Appalachian Storm. Fortunately, we don't have that to worry about, so that certainly is the good news. By the way, today, of course, Elaine, 1 month away from...
Christmas.
Yes, you believe it. Christmas Day, 1 month from today.
See, that doesn't scare me. Jim, I'm a value shopper. I started back in August. You know, I'm almost
on the 4th of July, didn't you?
No, when I went down to Yorktown, Virginia with my sister, when I went down there. I'm sorry. I started in July, so I am like 90% done.
You're all really? Okay, so you're pretty much all set. So you weren't standing in line last night, was it?
No.
You didn't have to.
No.
Yeah.
I'm good.
No, you're good. And again, As I've talked about to you the last few weeks about this, the later it takes to get a snowfall, the rule of thumb, not 100%, but 80 to 90% of the time, our biggest snow situations in the winter is when the first snowfall is late. So last year, our first snowfall was about an inch. It was on December 5th, which is obviously coming up in another 10 days or so. If you remember, last winter, it was not all that snowy, and it snowed on December 5th. So it started fairly early, December 5th, and people were thinking, oh, here we go, going to have a big winter. And last winter was just moderately snowy. It wasn't all that bad. Again, if you're someone who does not like a lot of snow, then you almost want to root for some snow early. If you're someone who likes a ton of snow, for like a six-week period like we had 2 or 3 years ago, remember that onslaught where we got the big snow banks and everything else? That winter, that snowfall didn't start until after Christmas, and then it went through January and the first couple of weeks of February. We've been hammered for about 6 weeks, and then it's like a bell curve. It starts right slowly, ramps up, goes back down, whereas the early winter snowfalls, the ones that hit in November, which we have not had, and we only have a week to go, or even less than a week now, the ones that start early with a few snowfalls, usually those are just up and down. You get a little snow here and there in January, here and there, and that's about it. So it's starting to, as long as we don't have snow, there is some indications that by, say, late December into January, we may have a few weeks of a lot of snow. But again, that's down the road. So until then, enjoy, and no travel problems for this week.
Well, that sounds really great. What is the when is the full moon coming up?
December 3rd.
December 3rd.
Cold, it's the full cold moon in December, but it's not going to be cold. So, I mean, it'll be chilly, obviously. But it's, yeah, the 3rd. So it's coming up. We have the first quarter moon tonight. We'll see it again this evening. Again, maybe just a few scattered clouds with it. But, again, we're really on a roll. Now, those of you that don't like these dark afternoons, the sunset today, 4:16, it's going to bottom out on December 8th. People say, oh, the shortest day of the year is the 21st, so we should have the latest earliest sunset. No, it happens on December 8th and 9th. I won't get into why, but so we're about 2 weeks away, Elaine, from ending the darkness in the late afternoon. In other words, it stops. 4:12 will be the sunset on December 8th, and then it starts to slowly go back up for the rest of December into January. So if you don't like these dark afternoons, the worst of it is in about 2 weeks. In terms of the earliest, and then it starts going the other way.
Wow, I can't wait for that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, the good news, I'll end on this. Again, no real big weather issues. Again, a little colder tomorrow than today. Most of next week for the last few days of November, dry roadways, no big weather issues. Just really good stuff for this time of the year.
Well, that's wonderful. And I hope you continue to heal and feel better soon. And I'll talk to you next week. You're going to come in a little bit early, around 7:15. Is that okay?
That's fine. I'll talk to you then. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. All right. Okay. There goes Jim Corbin and giving us an update on the weather. Sounds like we got a different hodgepodge of weather coming in. Wanted to let you know, too, since Thanksgiving had been this past Thursday, that the La Salette Shrine is in full bloom with over 300,000 lights. I'd hate to have that electric bill. Anyway, it starts from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily, every single day, Monday through Friday, until January 1st. It's a really spectacular event. I live right off of County Street, so I can tell you right now it's a very popular event because I can't get out of my street because of it, but it's well worth going up there. If you've never experienced that, it's a great experience. So park the car, walk all around La Salette Shrine. There's a shopping there. There really is, and I like to go to that hot chocolate. They don't sell alcohol down at all, but, I mean, they have hot chocolate there, so you can warm yourself up. But there's nothing like it. Tis the season, and you should really check it. That's really something great that you can take your family to, and it's absolutely 100% free. So we are up against our last break, and on the flip side, we'll come back again, and we'll wrap up with Mike Dutra. Also, there's just a couple of other things I wanted to mention that's happening in the area. I hope you're having a great morning and a first cup of coffee, and I hope you call us at 508-222-1320. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
The monthly meeting of the Gatcher Consumer Advisory Committee will take place in the Balfour Room of the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, January 18th from 1 to 2 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Anyone wishing to come speak about issues with the Gatcher Fixed Route or Paratransit services is invited to attend. Group transportation to and from the meeting is provided free of charge by Gatcher, and the meeting is accessible to individuals with disabilities. To arrange for a ride to the next meeting, you can call 508-824-1367 by noon the day before the meeting.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Staying at home, surrounded by family and friends, resting comfortably, with your illness under control, and support for your family caregivers. That's what most Americans want at life's end. Hospice can make it happen. With the help of hospice, patients and families alike can focus on what's most important, enjoying life together and living as fully as possible. Feel free to contact Community VNA Hospice at 508-222-0118. You can also visit communityvna.com for more information.
The following is an encore presentation of Out and About with Elaine. Please, no calls.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
J-I-N-G-L-E bells. How those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No Christmas music. Oh my God. This is the Thanksgiving holiday. I can't believe it. First of all, I haven't seen Valentine candy yet, but I think that's coming next week. I don't like to push the holidays, folks. I really don't. Listen, good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We have Mike Ducha. Strictly Sinatra is going to be playing at Twin River. And if you're lucky enough to have a ticket like I am, you'll be seeing him and the Rat Pack. So, what are some of the challenges? What have been some of the challenges as being going through the Rat Pack and different things? I know you don't even have any trouble getting gigs, that's for sure. But, I mean, like, has there been challenges logistic-wise and things like that? Have there been a time when something didn't just go right or something happened?
Well, I can remember we had a show a couple of years ago, and in the wintertime, I work mostly down in Florida because for obvious reasons.
Sure.
and we plan gigs up here, and we have to always be aware of a snowstorm. But I remember one time I flew up here, just made it in time. It was in Worcester, and it was a Valentine's gig, and it was a Frank and Dean show, and I think we had Marilyn too. I'm not sure, but I got to the show, and I got out just in time, and I grabbed the train, I believe right in Worcester, and because I had the next day we had to be in Philadelphia at the Harris Casino, and I got on the train, and the director of the show is calling me, and I go, he goes, are we all set? And he thought I was already at the casino. I said, I'll be there in a couple hours. And he goes, it's terrible outside. I said, yeah, the band should be there. I said, they went up ahead of me. I said, I'm on the train. And he was a nervous wreck, and they sent the limo to the train station to pick me up in Philly. And then we were at Harris, it was in Atlantic City, but they picked me up in Philly. It's only an hour away.
Oh.
And the limo, so they got me there, and they were wrecked, but I was used to it. I would have made it if I had a walk. I would have made it because I had a contract. But the only, as to answer your question, the only times we have a problem is when it's weather related, you know.
Mm.
And then it gets scary, you know. So, but other than that, no. I mean, you know, I've had, impressionists get sick and last minute, you know. And one time I had Eliza Minnelli. She got sick and her plane got diverted instead of landing where she was supposed to land. It landed out, and she was supposed to be in Naples, Florida. She was supposed to land in Fort Myers. They diverted her flight. I ended up calling a gal from up here who does last minute part time. He says, "Can you fly down?" I said, "It's going to cost me a fortune last minute. Can you come down?" And she flew down and she did the show for us. And Linda Calise, I don't know if you're familiar with Linda. She's a great entertainer. She came down and she did it. And it was a terrific thing. She saved the day, and then she flew back the next day. So that was, so that things like that happen, someone can't do a show.
So you just mentioned several characters, Marilyn Monroe and Liza. Yes. So what is your company, favorite thing?
What we market, when we sell the show, we say, listen, we do a tribute to Frank and Nat King Cole. We've got a great Nat King Cole impersonator.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, and the Rat Pack from Frankie and Sammy. Yes. We can even provide a Joey Bishop, and we got Marilyn Monroe, Liza Minnelli. Every character from that era, we're trying to get together and revive it and sell it as a product. And everybody that we have are professionals. They do a great job, and that's what we're doing, And, I'm going to probably say 35-40% of what I do now is the impression program.
Really?
And then the rest is, which is a big portion, and the rest is what I do when people see me on the road, whether it's a solo gig or two pieces or three or the big band with Michael Dutra, Strictly Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What we do.
Wow. That's really great. So how did you come up with the concept of the Rat Pack and then adding other people to...
I think things just grow, just like any bit. I hate to call it a business, but it is. When you're in business, you're always looking for new ways to get people to get, find more clients, more customers, more fans. I should say in our business, and because people ask all the time. Right now I'm really trying to find someone who does a mean Tony Bennett.
Yeah,
and I met a guy from California a couple of years ago.
Oh my.
And he sounded just like Tony Bennett, and even had the look, and he was actually a fireman, and he was with a friend of mine who does Frank's. He was with a friend of mine named Brian Dupre, who's a Las Vegas Sinatra, and he's tremendous. And Brian is actually from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, where Brian plays out in Las Vegas. And this gentleman was with Brian. We were having lunch together in downtown Providence, and I says, "Geez," I said, "I got a gig for you in Florida," and I offered him a good fee. And he said, I'm nervous. I said, "What are you nervous about?" I said, and he was, he was just new at it, and he was a little scared, and he didn't want to pursue it, but he I'm still looking for him. I still send him an email every now and then. I would love to do a Tony Bennett and Sinatra show. That would be terrific.
Oh, that'd be phenomenal. Yeah. Are you kidding?
So that's, maybe we'll get Steve Palumbo if he's listening. I've talked to him a bit, and he loves Dean. He loves Tony Bennett, excuse me.
Mm.
Maybe we'll get him to do some Tony Bennett.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Speaking of, your show is really awesome. And you had a surprise person come in and sing opera.
Yes.
Andrea Bocelli.
That's right.
Who I love, and mm-hmm. I love Besame Mucho.
Yes.
I love that song. And
you know who performs that, don't you?
Yes, Andrea Bocelli.
That's right. I think he's going to visit us tonight. I'm
is
pretty sure.
He?
I think so. I think he's gonna,
did he get a haircut or something? Did he change his look a little bit?
I think he's got. I think the hair is a little bit tighter around his face.
Some of the people.
I think he trimmed it. So
that's funny. Yeah. We're just kidding you, Steve. We really.
Yeah.
So going to Twin River tonight. What can the audience expect to see?
They're going to see a lot of flashbacks to what they saw from 1961 to 65 with those typical jokes that the Rat Pack did. But they're going to hear some new jokes that are critical to this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hear, naturally they're going to hear some Christmas songs. It's Christmas time.
Oh.
And we'll have our Santa Claus hats. We have to. One of my rules.
That's great. Yeah, so, can't do a Christmas show without
that.
That's right. For sure.
So there'll be a Christmas theme to it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there'll be some jokes reflecting to this day and age, and then a couple of surprises. I can't tell you what they are. I don't want to give it away.
Yes.
But a couple of surprises, which is I think will take the house down.
Oh, great!
I can say this much: we can thank Stephen Palumbo for those surprises.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll just leave it at that. Actually, I was down at Siena, and it was my brother's birthday, and they live in Smithfield. I'll just do a sidebar real quick. And so Steve was playing, and I set it up where my brother and his wife were coming, and he was going to embarrass the heck out of my baby brother by singing happy birthday, and Siena brought him a little piece of cake in that. So that's what happened. And unbeknownst to my brother, of course, we're having dinner and everything, and Steve, you know, said hello, and I gave him a copy of the interview, and if you also want a copy of the show, I can give it to you as well.
That's great.
But, yeah, so he sang happy birthday to my brother, and they came out with a cake, and my brother turned, like, 10 shades of red. It was, like,
that's great. That's awesome. I love that stuff.
I do, too, especially when you give it to your brother. It's like, yes. The voice ranges that I've seen you, I was with George, remember, at the Red Rock, Red Grill, something in North Attleboro.
Oh, yeah.
We did. You did a fundraising for Uncommon Ground, I believe it was, and then it was George and me and a few other people that we were there. That's the first time I see
George. George Money.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's a legend.
He is.
He's a legend.
He is, yes, yes. I'm going to have him on my show in December, and and he sends his regards to you because he knew that I was talking. Oh, yeah, tell him I said hi. I said, all right, I shall. But that was the first time I had ever been exposed to that, to your, it's not strictly Sinatra then, it was the Rat Pack, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And the music and you sound incredible. I mean, I purposely closed my eyes, you know, to just feel the Sinatra come into the room and the feel, and everybody had smiles on their faces and the, you bring a fantastic show.
Thank God.
All of you are like showmen, you know, like. I'm trying to be serious here.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm trying to give you a call. All of you have worked very, very hard to create that persona, I believe.
We have. Thank you.
I mean,
you can't
just stand there and call it in. No. Unlike some superstars like Mariah Carey.
Yeah, they can just do it.
Who just walks back and forth and just calls it in.
Yeah.
I did that.
I myself have watched Sinatra. You know, in movies, on stage, the Rat Pack videos that you can, whatever you can find, and watched it. I probably have 10,000 hours of watching Sinatra just to, you know, just to mimic the way he moves.
Right.
The way he says when he's talking, the way he says a sentence. So when I'm on there, try to be Sinatra for the audience. That's what they're looking for.
They are, right.
So you try to do that. When you're doing they're not looking for Mike Dutra, they're looking for Frank Sinatra when you're doing the impression. So that's my job. So
that's right. Exactly. I was going to ask you that question. How do you prepare? See that you already
little makeup and some put the blue contacts in and the hairpiece and pray it doesn't fall off.
No. I'm talking about talent and preparation.
A lot of it is just watching and studying. You know, I can remember years ago when the band, I used to fly the guys down. And we would do shows down in Florida, and many times they'd stay right at my house. I have a home in Naples, and I'd have four or five guys sitting on the couch, and these are the musicians. Chris Pratt, Joe Boulay, Johnny Stranges, and I'd say you got to watch this movie, and they go Mike, you know, you make us watch this movie every year when we come down here, and I didn't realize it, and as I'm watching the movie, I narrate and I start imitating, and you know, and I did it, I just didn't realize, you know, because I'd be doing the character, and they put up with me, they're kind souls, and they. And they go, every year, this is what we have to do.
Yes, that's true. Well, you get the essence of the character,
right.
And you do it so phenomenal.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank you.
I was going to ask, when you go out to Vegas, are there any people that knew Frank Sinatra, was in the inner circle, that came up to you and talked to you about this?
Yes.
Like when you go up, I can't imagine they not wanting to approach you and say, wow, you nailed it, you know, your mannerisms are just spot on, or giving you some feedback.
I was just at Alba Quincy. It's a nice restaurant right in the heart of Quincy. And I was in there just doing a solo gig, and a gentleman was there waiting for me, an elderly gentleman, and he walks over to me, and I said, I was setting up. I said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? He goes, I was on the Christina, which is Sinatra's airplane, his jet. He goes, back in 1960, he said, they had a jar on the plane of gold-plated lighters. It says, thanks, Sinatra. And it was in the gift box. And he says, and he gave me one. He said, and I've been waiting for a long time to give it to someone. I want you to have it. So I got a little choked up. I said, geez. I did. And I said, are you sure? I said, I've got the lighter in the original box given to me that Frank used to give it. People who flew on his airplane. Frank was always notorious for giving gifts. And he got one, and he gave it to me. And
wow.
I was the guy was, I think he was late 80s, maybe 90. And I wrote down his name, and I forgot. Joe, Italian fellow, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
and just a What a sweet man.
And my God.
And he gave that to me. This was a keepsake of his own, but he wanted to give it to someone. So that was something. I remember leaving the gig. I called my wife in Florida. I said, you won't believe what happened tonight. And I told her about it, and I've got the letter, and I got it locked up.
I don't blame you. We're going to hold you right there.
Okay.
All right. Well, good morning. I hope that you are up and out and about yourself, so just getting ready to go out and about. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we are talking to Mike Dutra. So stay tuned. We have a lot more going on right here at WARA 1320.
My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each.
Project Citizenship and the Literacy Center are holding a citizen workshop to help people fill out their N-400 application for citizenship. The workshop will take place in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room from 3 to 8 p.m. on February 28th. Project Citizenship is a nonprofit agency that works collaboratively with community-based partners to help eligible, legal permanent residents overcome barriers to become a U.S. citizen. If you would like to attend the workshop, you can register by calling Project Citizenship at 617-694-5949.
Juice, Mom! Juice, juice, juice!
Mommy, why are we going to the store?
Mom, I want juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is currently looking for qualified individuals to fill various positions within the company. Full-time, part-time, and per diem positions are available, including first, second, and third shifts. By joining Amigo, you will help create a positive client experience for every individual they have the privilege of serving each and every day. For information on the positions available, please call 508-455-6200 or visit their website at AmigoInc.org.
The following is an encore presentation of Out and About with Elaine. Please, no calls.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Oh my God, I just had my first cup of coffee and it went down like a bolt of lightning. I have today in the studio Mike Dutra, who is going to be talking to you and me about his fantastic show and his fabulous career, sorry Mike, on Strictly Sinatra. So good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So let's just dive right in because we've got so many questions. We have Jim Corbin calling in at 7:35 today, too. And so tell me, how did you get started in the music business?
I've been singing since I was a little boy, and I've done a lot of things over the years. But I pursued it full-time sometime between, about 15 to 17 years ago. I always sang, but didn't do it full-time, did it for fun. And then I pursued it and started out. The first place I sang was in Uxbridge at the old Cock and Kettle. Remember that place?
Yes, I do.
And from there, we formed a band, and we've traveled all over the place. We've been mostly this side of the Atlantic, but we've some interesting places over the years, and interesting companies that we've worked for, corporate events, and dinner shows. I mean, I've done shows solo for a party or two, and we've done shows for 10,000. So it's been quite a ride.
Oh, my God, that's really great. Because I wanted to know what drew you to the Sinatra. You have different, you sang all your life, you said, and then professionally. But now it's like you've got this whole wonderful range, vocal range, but you you pick Frank Sinatra. Why?
Well, as a young boy, my dad, who is still with us, thank God, he's going to be 91 in February.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's terrific. He always sang. He'd buy lyric sheets of Sinatra songs, Cole Porter and Sammy Kahn, and we'd sing the lyrics. I can remember going to the store with my mother and my two sisters, and my mom and two sisters would go in the store, me and dad wait in the car, and we'd sing the songs. And I can remember at 7 years old, 1965, singing Strangers in the Night with my dad. And that's how it all started. And I fell in love with Sinatra, and I don't know who couldn't. And and that was the start. And it went from there. And as I said, you know, I sang out in Las Vegas for a short time at the Imperial Palace with a band called Chewy's Band. That was an experience. And we've been performing in Miami, all over Florida, East Coast and the West Coast. New York City pretty much on a regular basis for a while, and we're still there, not as much as we used to be, but we'll be at the B.B. King's in New York City Sunday night. As you know, tonight we're at Twin River with the Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. That's where I get to wear my hairpiece, makeup, and blue eyes. They look quite different. And we're going to do the Rat Pack with the band. And I think there's about 4,000 people there. I think it's sold out.
Wow.
So we're excited. So it's going to be a great show, and looking forward to that.
That's great. Let's just digress a little bit. You went to New York City recently.
Yes.
There was a lot of media attention about security there. Police on every corner, barricades and everything. You and your beautiful bride were there. You've seen the Macy's Day Parade, which
yes.
is one thing that I want to do on my bucket list. So can you describe what the mood was? What was
sure.
the ambiance of the place?
Just like yourself, my wife had on her bucket list. And I couldn't, she lives full-time in Naples. I go back and forth. And she's in Naples, Florida. I said, look, I can't get down there for Thanksgiving. I said, I've got a job the day before, the day after. I said, what do you want to do? She said, well, she said, I'll meet you in New York. Let's see the parade and we'll do a few things that you want to do. I said, okay. So I went to New York City. The night before I got in, we went to the Rainbow Room. Always wanted to do that. We had a wonderful time. Took a picture and had a great dinner. And then we went to the parade. And going to the parade route, which was just a couple of blocks from the hotel, every block before the parade was visible was blocked off either with police cars or concrete blocks or like those big garbage trucks that they talked about in the news. Security was very, very tight. The police were tremendous, very respectful, very helpful, but they were wherever the crowd was, there was at least one policeman within I'm going to say about 40 feet.
Wow.
It was amazing, yeah. And one visible policeman. And there were guys that you knew were cops, but they weren't dressed as cops. And they were low profile, just watching everyone. And, as the parade proceeded, you could see there'd be a there was what I thought was a bomb sniffing truck that had the technical support on it. They could check coming up the roadway before the parade would proceed, and that came up a half hour, and another one 15 minutes, and then it was pretty amazing.
Wow!
And they had dogs. It was amazing. They really did a great job.
So you felt very, very safe.
You know, I did, but being the cynic that I am, I'm always looking around at the crowd, even while I'm standing there, just seeing what's going on, because in this day and age, it's good to be aware. Frank Sinatra's favorite quote that he told his children, be aware. So it's good to always have, I sound like my grandparents and my parents, have eyes in the back of your head. Don't assume everything is perfect this way. Look around. I know we're on the radio. I'm looking forward. Always look behind yourself, see what's going on.
Right. No, that's great advice.
I sound like someone's mother out there talking to them. So.
No, I think that's really great advice. Now, you have some common things with Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
You were talking about that before we went on air. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Sure. Well, Frank was he was short, just like me. And he wore lifts to be taller because it bothered him that he was short. Me, it doesn't bother me because no one knows who I am, so it's okay. But anyway, he was about 5'6", 5'7". That's about my height. He was left-handed, just like myself, and I'm left-handed. He was born December 12th, 1915. I was born December 12th, 1958. I'll be 59 in a couple of weeks. So we share the same birthday. Let's see. His dad was a boxer at one time, and my dad was a boxer in the Navy back in World War II. His mother was a nurse, midwife, and a local politician. My mom was an LPN, licensed practical nurse, and a politician back in her day. when she was a kid. And so it's funny. And then my mother was half Sicilian, and the other half is Portuguese. And he was all Sicilian, but there's some Sicilian blood in my line too. So that's pretty.
That's amazing. Yeah, it really is. It's like you're destined to portray him.
He was a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, when he retired. I got enough money to retire right now, as long as I die by Tuesday. That's
it. I feel
Sally, that's the truth.
Oh my God, that's too funny. So we're gonna go into a little bit about the Rat Pack and how that was formed then and how your Rat Pack is similar.
You know, I loved everything about that era. And, it's funny, that era when I was growing up, I was a child. But, you know, as you grow old and old, you watch the reruns, you see the shows. And I loved, you know, they had such a magnetic force around them. And I know it was rehearsed. You know, they say it wasn't, but it was rehearsed. They knew what they were doing. And when Frank, Dean, and Sammy were on the stage, and I look at the audience today, and sure, there's a lot of people from that era that are there to see it. But you see young people getting excited about it, and it's great to see. A quality never goes away. I don't care what you say, quality never goes away. People will find it and say, that's good stuff, and they want to see it. Mm-hmm. So we formed a Rat Pack, with Stephen Palumbo. And I work with several guys who do Sammy all over the country. And I've got a great crew. We've got a great crew tonight. We have Stephen. I've got Mark Priscilli's coming up as Sammy. He's terrific. He's coming up from Orlando. And we've got a couple of surprises, surprise guests. I can't tell you who they are.
Oh, boy.
but it's going to be a great show. And we're going to do, I think we're going to run about an 80-minute show, I think. And it's going to be nonstop. And I've got naturally my big band behind this is Strictly Sinatra Band.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
that's
great. Yeah, so they'll be there. And they enjoy the show just as much as we do. So it's going to be a great time. And I think we're sold out. I would invite the radio audience to see if they can get a ticket, but you can check it out at Twin Rivers Event Center, a website, twinriver.com, at the event page. I think there might be a couple of tickets, but I'm not quite sure. But if there is, we'll see you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate because I do have tickets ahead of time, and this is really great.
That's great.
Yeah. So what's the best part of doing Sinatra and being with the Rat Pack?
I think the best part for me, you do the show, people appreciate the remembrance of Sinatra, who I think was a legend, the greatest, in my humble opinion, the greatest singer of the 20th century. I think he gave a lot to the music. Other people who, after the show, you meet people and they'll tell you stories about Frank, some people who met Frank, who knew Frank, who just went to see him live. And they said, gee, you're not Frank Sinatra, but you did your best, and it was close enough. And I said, well, that's my job. thank you so much. So it makes me feel good that I can give a little bit back of what I do. So yeah. I contributed somewhat. So that's the best part of it.
I think that the whole lifestyle, too, of Frank Sinatra, the suave, sophisticated, he was just a cool guy. He came across his persona, and I think that attracts most people.
Right.
Do you feel that way, too, when you're on stage and people come up to you? Do you feel that character? You're in character, that's for sure.
When we do the Rat Pack, I'm sorry, let me interrupt you. When I'm in character with the Rat Pack, yes, you try to have that persona and try to behave just like Frank did. But, Frank, there's only one Frank Sinatra, so you do the best you can. When I'm doing my own thing with the band and just strictly Sinatra tribute, I'm more Michael Dutras, doing a tribute to Frank, and we talk about Frank and we sing his songs, and as you know, I sound similar to Frank's sound, so it's just thank God, helps me get work. So, but that's what I enjoy the most, because people realize, well, here's a guy, he's not doing the impression, he's just doing his tribute, it does sound similar to Frank, and then I can compare the stories, and it makes it a lot more fun. The Rat Pack is also a joy, but it's a different concept of what
it
we
is,
do. Yeah, it's
right.
Different than when I just come out with the fedora. When I come out with the Rat Pack, that's when I have hair. It's a miracle. I go from having no hair to hair in my head and blue eyes and makeup. And everybody, and funny part, being from Rhode Island and in the Massachusetts area, people who know me personally, when they see me come on stage as the impression, they all laugh because they know, that's not his hair. But that's okay. That's part of the show.
Why do, how did the Rat Pack begin?
That started with Humphrey Bogart. Humphrey Bogart was, he was anti-system, we're going back to the 1950s, not early 1950s, and he was all about, not trying to be part of the Hollywood elite, and he'd have his own private parties and stay up late and drink and play cards, and it was his wife, Lauren McCall. Right. One night of drinking and partying, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, Lauren walked in, and they were all pretty much passed out in the card room. And she goes, well, if this isn't a Rat Pack, what is? And that's how the name started, and that's how it stuck.
No kidding.
Yep. And then, you know, sadly, when Humphrey Bogart passed, Frank took the torch, and he had Dean, Sammy, he had Peter Lawford, he had the honorary guys like Tony Curtis. Who's the gal? It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm on the radio, and I can't think of her name. Sally, Warren Beatty's sister, what's her name? Warren Beatty's sister.
Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine, that's right. Shirley MacLaine, she was an honorary member. And Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop. And that was the Rat Pack. And they would get together and have their parties. And Frank used to drive around in a golf cart at his home in Palm Springs in California. And whenever you saw the flag, he'd have the Jack Daniels flag on the golf cart. That meant it was party time. Go to his house. All the local neighbors, the local Hollywood people, the party would begin.
That's great. Yeah. I'm going to hold you right there. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. This is Elaine LaRoche. When we come back, I'd like you to call in with questions with Mike Dutra. And our number here is 508-222-1320. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, oh,